You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Well, welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank podcast. I'm here with Paul.
Hi, Robbie. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. You know what? How are you doing today? I never ask that. I always say what defines you or what type of bug are you interested in? How are you doing?
Really good. Really good.
Are you so good that you, I don't even know where I could go with that. How many times has somebody asked you in the world and genuinely meant it, how are you doing?
Probably count on one hand.
Isn't that crazy how, like, I could probably look through my whole entire life and try and figure out how many times someone has actually generally came up to me and actually cared about how I was actually doing.
I actually watched a great thing on Netflix only a week or so ago, and it was discussing the high rate of suicide in men, in young men. 75% of all suicides are men. And on the back of that, the guy doing the TV program, he actually said that nobody asks if anybody else are okay, and actually mean, are you okay? So when you ask someone, you stop and ask them, whether it's a text, an email, you know, meet them in the office, wherever you are, stop them, ask them, are you okay? But then ask them again, no, are you okay? Do you actually really feel okay? And I thought that was quite a good thing to take away.
I think it's interesting because maybe that's a factor of everybody wanting to live in the now. I mean, it kind of goes with like why I was so interested across your page too with like studying family history, because I was like, how many people want to know about things that happened in the past? Everybody wants to focus on now or focus on the future. I'm like, I want to know where I came from.
Yeah, everything that happened and every part of every ancestor is part of the fabric that makes you who you are today. Whether it's traits, whether it's DNA, whether it's how you look, how you act, how you, every sort of part of you comes from your DNA and your ancestors in one shape or form.
Would you say it's as close as like, for instance, would I have more in common with my great grandfather rather than I do my grandfather, just because it seems like it's like a generational type thing? It seems like every third is the one that you relate to the most. So like if I have a kid, he won't look, or he'll have some things obvious from me and the mom, but he'll have more in common with my grandfather trait wise, because it's just, there's that two generation type thing.
Yeah, I don't think there's a rule of thumb to it. I think we tend to notice certain things above other things for whatever reason. You can notice certain traits going back to a parent, and then other traits that go back to a grandparent. But I don't think you can physically put a number on it. I think it's just random.
Are you more obsessed with it based on like the information that you uncover when it comes to like maybe a certain family member was involved in like a crazy incident or something in like – maybe if, you know, talk about like the Holocaust or something, if you find out you had an ancestor in the Holocaust, are you more interested in the fact of what it boils down to genetic wise, like what traits a person picks up and how they correlate to maybe an ancestor?
I think it's difficult to correlate traits from paper based records. You can have oral testimony and stories that are handed down, but obviously there's no way of proving if those oral stories are 100% accurate anyway. But I think we tend to navigate towards somebody that's done something a little bit different or out of the ordinary. But we have to remember that every ancestor has a voice, and it's our job as a genealogist to be their voice.
Are you a proprietor? Do you have a diary?
No.
You don't have a diary? I would think that would be the most valuable source of information to be able to read. Like if I could read my great grandfather's journals when he was my age and just keep a record of all these types of things goes, makes it a little bit easier to understand the perspective of that person.
I know a lot of people do keep diaries that do family history or general history work. And I did start to, I wouldn't say a diary, I obviously write a blog. I started blogging quite a bit about the pandemic in the early days. And I wish now I'd kept a diary through the pandemic because it would be, well, we actually lived through, or we are living through a moment in history, you know, in hundreds of years time, people will look back and they'll look at this moment like we look back at the Spanish flu or the plague. And unless we record it, who else is going to record it?
Is it going to get a little bit scary on the fact that they could actually mess up some of the recordings of the, I guess, this part of history, you know, the pandemic and everything too? Some details might get blended. Like if we look at something from 100, 200 years ago, how accurate are those numbers that they use? You know,
there's always an angle, and it depends on which side you come from. And you can call it fake. They call it fake news today, but it was the same 100, 150 years ago. You only got to look through the newspaper archives. You can take what you read with a pinch of salt. But so it's difficult to actually attribute what is fact and what is fiction.
How did you suddenly come across wanting to use at least paper and trying to find history about certain generations or certain families? Like that's not, I guess, a hobby that a lot of people are very, very, I guess, known or interested in. Like, is that just something that hits you one day?
It's actually probably the second or third. I think if you go on the internet, it's the second or third most researched topic on the internet, believe it or not.
Really?
Family history. It really, yeah.
Is that because Ancestry.com? Because I know everybody was going to that at one point, but I figured nowadays it's like people on Amazon just buying stupid things.
I think when you get a little bit older, you tend to ask more questions. When you're young, you just live for the moment. You know, you're invincible. You're going to be here forever. So why should I need to know about anything that happened before me?
I mean, it's important if you have like a medical issue and your doctor's like, did your grandfather have cancer? You're like, I don't know. It's like, did your dad have cancer? It's like, I don't know. It's like, well, you're fucked. You know, like it boils down to a little bit more than people think. It's like, why do I care if my great grandparents came over on a boat? Why wouldn't you know where your fucking legacy was from? Like, I wish I could trace my family back, but the only thing I've been able to trace it on is Ancestry.com, and they just look for the same last name as me. I'm like, that I would no, none of my family was over there at that time. None of that.
Yeah, it's, as I say, I think people tend to, younger people look at it differently to older people. And I think when you get that bit older, you want to just discover. I mean, my journey started really, my dad died when I was 3. So he was 30 and I was 3. So I grew up with a piece missing. As I grew older, I wanted to find out just about him, really. What did he do? What did he like? Where did he work? Who were his friends? What were his interests? And I just really started asking questions about him. And then that kind of grows and expands. And then you start asking about his dad. And then, you know, it just goes on and on. It's like the snowball effect, really, I guess.
Did you find anything super interesting, at least to you, that you felt that was very important?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different, there's small stories that really have more of a significant meaning now when I look back. I mean, I looked through the newspapers and found a story about my grandfather. And he got stopped by the police for going down a road the wrong way on his bike. So nothing, only trivia.
Wait, hold on. Is that accurate? Like they have actual... Are you telling me my great grandkid is going to be able to pull up a traffic ticket that I got?
Yeah.
Like that sucks. That really sucks. But that's so awesome.
So this story, it just sat there in the background, and I thought it was quite funny. I imagined him coming home and he was drunk on his bike and going the wrong way. And it was only when I sort of stopped, it was probably about 10 years after I discovered it. I looked back at the dates. Now, they'd already lost a child at that point. A baby had died 9 months old. And when I looked at the dates, this was literally the week before my dad was born. So now that put a completely different sort of context to that story. So now I've got this sort of vision that he was at work, got a phone call that Nan was about to deliver, going into labor, and he's biking home as fast as he can. And it made a whole new twist on that story. So for 1 minute I think it's funny and amusing. I still would never know the answer because, you know, but because of the dates, it made the whole story completely different.
Now, are you specifically tracking your own family history, tracking a bunch of people's history?
I'm doing my family history, but because it just gets wider and wider, I've done my wife's family history, And I do a fair bit of work for friends and colleagues. They'll ask me to have a nose around and that, but I'm not a professional. I regard myself as an enthusiastic amateur, but there are professionals that I don't get paid.
You know, it's funny. I consider that's the only difference I see between a professional and enthusiast is getting paid for it. Because I can tell you one thing, if you're passionate about the craft, you'll be able to probably find more than the person that's getting paid to do so. You know what I mean? It's like, if I was an owner of a company, I would want to hire people that were passionate about the job that they were pursuing, not the one that might have a little bit more education. Because as a person being passionate about the craft, you're going to spend all those hours and countless time researching and not be dreading it. You're going to be having fun. Like, oh my God, like imagine you're reading an article in a newspaper from like 400 years ago, and you find out that your uncle saved a baby from a fire. You're like, I'm not your uncle, you're great, whatever, saved a baby from a fire. You're gonna be like, oh my God, this was, and I have a story about that. So we have all these old school style frames in our house that were my grandparents and my great grandparents. And I was like, they're very old frames. They're not like the new ones now where you can swipe the photo and technology will move it to a different photo. They're old school frames, big bulky photos. And I saw a man holding I guess it would be my great uncle, his hand as a little child. And I was like, who is this person? Someone in my family was like, oh, that's your great uncle. And I was like, well, I've never met this guy before. Like, I've never even seen is there any more pictures of him? They're like, no, he died probably a year after that photo was taken. And I was like, he's like 4. He goes, yeah, he died when he was like 6, I think. He died in a barn fire. And I was like, what? And then it just became this whole unraveling story where I'm like, this is information that like a lot of people don't know about their family lineage. You know, I think this is why there's a little bit, when you get a little bit older, it's not just for medical reasons. It's more of like an inspiration to figure out all these crazy stories and learn a little bit more about where you came from too.
Yeah, you do uncover, I mean, like everything, like the traits and the DNA stuff, you know, the good and the bad. So you do uncover really good stories, and also some heartbreaking and sad stories. There was one in particular, and it only goes back sort of 100 years or so, and it completely split a family in half. A young soldier, he came back on leave during World War One, and he inadvertently left his gun loaded and propped against a wall. And some children were playing, his nephew, and the gun was knocked over and the gun went off and killed a 6-year-old boy.
Oh, no.
Now, I can't say 100% for certain, but after that, the mother of the child, she left and then went to emigrate to New Zealand. And as far as I know, the family lost contact with each other. So, yeah, it can be... You can have the good and the bad. It's not always a good story.
Now, is that the saddest thing that you've come across?
Probably, I think, because it impacts the then and the now, because this family going forwards then were completely split and divided. But going full circle, I probably investigated that story about 5 years ago. And I've actually found some living descendants of the family in New Zealand. And the irony is I've managed to put the two sides of the family back in touch with each other. So although there's been 100-year rift, I wouldn't say a rift, but 100-year divide, they weren't really even aware of the full story and the circumstances. They knew a child had been killed at a young age, but neither of them knew the circumstances. So it's all kind of evolved. And it looks like the two sides of the family, and they're back in communication with each other. So there's good from bad sometimes.
Have you discovered anything about your own family, for instance, that you weren't too happy to find out?
I did discover a very, very close DNA mismatch.
Like baby switched at the hospital or something?
Not quite. It's probably difficult to say because this is going to go out on the internet. But let's say one of my grandparents wasn't actually one of my grandparents. That close.
Like, what do you mean? Like adopted?
No, the paper records indicate the guy that wasn't my granddad, the guy who I thought was granddad, who was lived around the corner, who we grew up with, and yeah, it turns out he wasn't actually my biological grandfather.
That happened to me with my uncles. Me and my brother are half siblings, so I grew up thinking my uncles were my uncles, or my brother's uncles are not mine. And I'm like, ah, oh, damn. But I still get Christmas gifts, so I mean, that's a plus, I would say.
I also think as well, you don't need DNA to be a father or a grandfather. The guy that's there doing the nurturing, the caring, the education, who there picks you up when you fall over and teaches you to ride a bike and does all the basic stuff, he's the father, he's the grandfather. Yeah. Don't need DNA for that.
That's actually a very important thing to highlight, because how many people out there listening probably have a, you know, a stepdad or someone they call their parent, their actual parent. And just because there's not blood connected doesn't mean that that part of the family is not part of you. What's interesting is after the human body, as long as you're around another person, like for instance, me and my cousin's my half cousin. We're connected through my brother. He's not really technically even my cousin. He's just, you know, connected through my brother's side of the family. But we didn't know he existed, and he came up on my doorstep saying, hey, you know, I'm this person's kid. And we're like, he died when he was like 24 of cancer. You're his kid. And we didn't know about him. So we start, you know, talking and hanging out a lot more. And after about a year or so of him spending time here, we started to develop certain traits about each other. Like he started picking up traits I had, I was picking up traits he had. And it happens even after a while, like 10, 15 years, a person can start developing facial features and start their face will literally start to change to resemble the person that they're with. That's why, like, sometimes you see older couples and they look a lot alike. It's because they've spent so much time together.
Yeah, there's two aspects there. There's nurture and nature. So it's what you learn from just being around people, exactly as you've described. Then, of course, you've got what you inherit physically in DNA. So there's two things going on. Sometimes one is a bit of a power struggle and one overcomes the other. But yeah, there's two elements to make you who you are.
I would love to trace my lineage back and trying to find something rare about it. Like, just even if it's something dumb, like the dude made the rotato. Like, I don't care. Like, that peels and cuts a potato. I don't care. Like, that sounds interesting to me. But just to know that, like, I think that's what people are all looking for. Like, I don't think it's good to necessarily leech out all the success of an ancestor. But I think it is important to know that you have qualities about you that might have some type of creativity to it, you know, have this aspiration. Because I think a lot of people nowadays are just looking for a purpose. They're looking for something to do. They're looking for something that resembles where they fit in this world. And I'm like, probably a lot of that can be traced back to your lineage to figure out, what did your grandparents do? What did your ancestors do? You know, I've heard countless stories of people like you see on TV that discover that they were related to this famous person or this person. Two of my best friends, well, two of my friends, I'd say, they didn't know that they were related to each other. I had found that out for them because I went to each of their houses separately, and they were like, well, my great grandfather or great whatever was Robert E. Lee. Both of them said that. And I was like, you know, he says that too. And then they found out, they talked to their parents and found out there's actually a relation in their bloodline. They're actually cousins. And I was like, or second cousins or something like that. And I was like, look at that shit. Like, that stuff you wouldn't even know if you didn't look.
No. And I think sometimes you, without even realizing it, you naturally gravitate to people of similar traits, similar thoughts, similar ideas to yourself. And that's no reason why they can't be a blood relative, even if you don't know that they're a blood relative.
That makes me wonder how they both thought of me as a friend, but they weren't hanging out with each other. So I was like, what traits do I have in my genetics or in my bloodline that somehow, like, you ever look back, like you ever see like a Family Guy episode, they're talking at a bar or something like that. And then it's like, well, this is the same thing my great, great, great grandfather did. And then it's like, flashback, and then it's his great grandfather sitting with the same exact people, but just they look older and they're all doing the same thing. I'm like, I wonder if that's possible. Like, if we trace our genetics back far enough, certain traits that one of our ancestors had, we're hanging out with the same type of people. Like that story about, you know, him riding the bike down the wrong way. That makes him more relatable to, like, that's something I would fucking do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just don't know. I always think as well, how many people do you pass on the street every day or on the train going to work, that that could be related to you. You've no idea. You're just walking past people every day that could be a very, very distant relative.
That's like the problem with what's his name? It's not Genghis Khan. It's Attila the Hun. One of those guys that is like responsible for like 4 out of 10 people and
10,000 children or something ridiculous.
Got a lot of people to buy Christmas presents for at that point.
They didn't have TV back then. That's probably why.
I think it's kind of crazy though, because like even because I think the whole point, we all want immortality, right? And that's kind of like what the point of having kids is. You're kind of finding immortality a little bit in a way too. Even with adopting, you're still continuing the bloodline. When like what it makes me go through my mind of the type of history that you can find, not only like even if you're adopted, I honestly, I see more loving it when if you're adopted, because of the fact that you can trace you're not your biological's family's heritage, but then you can try and find your own biological heritage as well. So then it's like you're having two different histories. They're all part of you. You're their continuing message.
Yeah, I think today most families now are an extended family. If you have what you'd consider a conventional family, you know, one parent, one mother, one father, that's probably not the norm anymore. Most people have more than one father, more than one mother, because the parents have split up or families have merged. So I think it's not unusual to have an extended family. I think that's more of the norm today than say 50 or even 100 years ago. And I think how we look at the family group as a whole, a lot of societies as well, you know, I think Japan, maybe China, where they have the parents live in the family house. So you have a generational thing where several generations would live together. I think that happens hundreds of years ago, not so much now.
That's why I think I'm a big proprietor of keeping a journal. Like I don't have one myself. I did at a point, but when I hear people like Mormons, for instance, they have journals from when back in the day when they fought the Indians. Like that was just the thing that their religion does, was keep journals, keeps logs every single day, writing down a little bit of information. You don't have to write down your whole day or your whole diet or whatever, but like same thing in Japan, they keep samurai swords. Samurai swords are a thing of tradition. You know, that's your ancestors. That's like having an urn that their spirit is inside there and it lives on through there, their message, their memories, all these types of things. I mean, we have photos now, of course, but back in the day when they were writing things down on stone, you wonder how much information got lost. Like how, when you start a search, for instance, what's your process? Like, do you just type into Google or?
There's lots of different ways of doing it. You would obviously go to Ancestry or Find My Past as a subscription website, but that's only one snippet and one part of the story.
But say that $6.99 is a little steep for me. I'm like, I don't give a shit that much to care, you know, pay that $6.99 fee.
Yeah, it's about building up their life story. You know, where did they work? What industry did they work in? What career did they have? And finding out about a little bit more to their life story. You can have a birth date, a marriage date, and a death date, but that doesn't tell you who they were, what they did, where they went, and how they lived their daily lives. If they were maybe worked on the railways, you can find out about what the life of a railway worker was. It may not mention your ancestor directly, but you need to know what an engine driver did, what a plate layer did, what a rail shunter did. And it's, you know, Google can, you can find all that information out with a few clicks, and that builds up a bigger picture of your ancestor. As I say, it may not necessarily mention him in the pages that you look at, but it'll give you a general overview of what their life would have been like. How many hours a day did they work? You know, what time did they rise? Was it a 6-day week? You know, was it a 10-hour day, 12-hour day? You know, there's lots of information out there.
I think that question also gets scary though, when it's like, if you ask somebody, do they want to know their secrets of their family history? I think it might sound interesting, but I also think there's a fear for a lot of people too. Like, imagine if you're reading through a bunch of old pages and you come across a thing that says your grandfather, whoever killed Abraham Lincoln, and you're like, oh my God, that's something you rip out of a book and you wouldn't want to show the rest of the world. You know what I mean? But it would be interesting if you found out, oh, my grandfather created General Mills cereal or something like that. You're like, oh my God, like I'm rich. You know, it'd be this whole different, man. It's just a tough decision. Cause I remember asking my cousin that, because he grew up being adopted. And then when he found us, it was a little bit different. I was like, do you ever, you know, if I wrote down on a piece of paper, you know, at a time when you were young and been able to tell you who your family was, like your actual parents and everything like that, you would have been able to found us 10 years, 15 years ago. Would you want to? And he goes, no, because I love my family, the one I have. And then I also love this new extended family. You guys might be my real family, but they're my real family. And I'm like,
I get that. That's the thing with your DNA or your family. You don't get to choose. You have to take it warts and all, everything that you find and discover, good and the bad. You can't pick the good, cherry pick the good bits and the best bits. You have to take everything. So if he killed Abraham Lincoln, so be it. If he killed Abraham Lincoln, if he's your ancestor, he's your ancestor.
Now, what would you say? Like, what's the process after you go through ancestry.com? Is that just where you get the information from? Or are you like going to libraries and then also researching?
It's been a bit more difficult because of the pandemic. A lot of the record offices and archive offices, libraries, etc., they're all closed. So the access to extended records is a bit more difficult. So you are solely reliant on what you can find online. But there's still tons and tons of stuff out there you can find online. You can find military records if they served in the war. There's war diaries, so you can build up a picture of the regiment and troop movements. Yeah, there's lots of information out there. I think it's about building a picture, not just the bare bones of the records. It's about building a picture of their life, really.
Do you think with enough time and maybe a little bit fast forward, maybe a 100 years into the future, that there'll be a device that you can actually put your fingerprint on? Or give like a blood sample to, and they'll be able to trace, because we can trace medical things right now. I'm pretty sure they can check if you have certain diseases and underlying conditions.
Yeah, they can, yeah.
But could you be able to trace the genetic code down to a fine line of being able to, I guess, I don't want to, you ever play the game Assassin's Creed?
Many years ago.
Okay. The Animus, like you can only go into the ancestry of your ancestors, not anybody else's. Do you think at one point in the future, maybe not as much as being like in a video game or simulation, slipping into a machine to live your ancestors' lives, but do you think at a point you might be able to get a little bit of like a story or be able to get information, be able to find something in there that can help trace you back even farther, easier rather than going through ancestry.com or another way?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the industry, if you want to call this an industry, is moving with the times and developing all the time. And there's a big drive for oral history now. So recording, probably for people that may be in the latter stages of their life, just recording some oral testimony of their life, and putting it online somewhere. So the natural extension of that is what you're talking about. But part of the fun is the journey and the finding out yourself. So if you had to just click and download your entire family history all in one, at the click of a button and hit the print button, it kind of takes out all the fun. The fun is the finding. The fun is the discovery and the fun is the journey. And I think if you had too much readily available, then that takes that element away.
I think we both can agree it would be fun to find these things out like a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt, but you got to understand through the eyes of society, where if they could just be like one click and I get to find out everything, when you have to spend hours by a light or something to be able to find all these things or all these.
I've been doing this for 20 years. So if one click, it would have saved me 20 years of work.
20 years, man, that even like just for like a hobby or whatever, you know, whatever you want to consider it, not even doing it professionally. How do you keep doing that for 20 years and maintain the enthusiasm? Is it just because every day is like a new treasure you find?
I think so. I think every ancestor is different and new records become available, new technology. I'd never even heard of Zoom until 2 years ago. So there I'm on my third podcast. So yeah, it's every day's a learning day. Every day you do something different.
Imagine tracing your great, great grandkids, or your kids tracing you, your great grandkids chasing you. And they're like, he spent 20 years just researching his history. He didn't do anything. It's like, well, what do you expect? You're just trying to log stuff for you guys to remember.
What's funny as well is, well, it's not funny, but because I've had the DNA test and I found out now that one of my grandparents isn't one of my grandparents, in effect, 25% of my work I could throw in the bin.
What?
So 25%, one quarter of that line is not my actual bloodline.
But they're still your family, though. You still have to count that.
Of course they are. Yeah. I mean, to me, granddad is still granddad. But effectively, when I told my kids, they thought it was hilarious that I spent all this time researching the family. And they're not even, it's not even your granddad. So they think it's hilarious.
That's like if you do the dishes and then they're like, yeah, but you didn't put soap in the dishwasher, so just washed it with hot water. You're like, it's still washed. I'm counting it as a win. I would count that. I mean, you probably couldn't trace like the medical parts from it, but you could definitely trace down the history and be like, this is what you're, because like we said before, family is family, no matter if it's blood or not. Man, can you think in the future they're going to be looking back on people of this generation and trying to track what they were doing? It's like, well, they made level 50 in Call of Duty. Is that a fucking accomplishment? Did we get a medal for that?
What about photographs? Now, we spend all our time looking back at all the old pictures and that. Who's going to have a photo album in the future? If it's not on Snapchat chat or in Instagram or Facebook, it's gone. It's never. It's not there, is it? It's gone.
Dude, you just gave me the most horrible idea in my head. Imagine like you're looking through, like my grandma recently passed. So I'm looking through photo albums and photo albums and photo albums. And it's awesome. I love looking through these photos. But imagine kids in the future are going to go to the cloud, that device, little thing where all our pictures get stored and just look. Okay, well, here's file A, and see the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and okay, that's terrible. You need to go through that scavenger hunt. Be like, can you read this cursive? This cursive is really, I think that says Disneyland 2001 on it, and then like you're flipping through the book, and you're seeing all these amazing pictures.
Yeah, well, that's all gone. We're never going to be able to do that. And you embarrass your kids when your kids bring their boyfriends or girlfriends home, and you can get the albums out from when they were young, and yeah, that's all gone.
See, I think there's a sense of pride you need to have in the fact that you have to be embarrassed. You know, when you're, I was looking through a bunch of old photos and I was like, some of these need to be burned. Like, why did you take so many pictures of me taking a bath? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, where's the fun stuff where I was like eating my first ice cream? I found a piece of my first hair in a book and I literally was brought to tears because I was like, oh my God, she kept that. Like, I still get choked up talking about it.
We've got those. We've got the kids' first teeth.
It's important information, man.
It is, yeah.
I wonder what's the next or easiest way possible besides photos to be able to track even farther back into the past. Like, I was talking to a paleontologist and he was telling me about how they can understand if a dinosaur is a herbivore or a carnivore based on the fractures on its teeth and the skull. Certain fractures of the teeth show that this plant had this type of diet. This had this type of food that it was eating.
Imagine, you can tell from maybe if you're grinding bones or flesh compared to grinding plant life. I'd imagine that, you know, there must be a different pattern. But how you can tell that thousands or millions of years later? Wow, that is impressive. If you're talking about pictures, I'm just going to dive off now. Have a look on a website. It's called My Heritage. And they've got a new technology. It's called something called Deep Nostalgia. So My Heritage and Deep Nostalgia, you can upload, it's all free. You can upload a still picture of you today or a picture of your great grandfather 100 odd years ago, and they animate and bring that picture to life. So they actually add movement, smiles, eye movement, frowns and everything like that. It's a little bit, some people find it a little bit creepy and a bit eerie, but that's what technology can do. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It's also incredibly scary because there's an app called Wombo. And they actually, if you look on Facebook or look on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, you'll see pictures of Joe Biden where he's singing to like Michael Jackson's Thriller. And that's because this Wombo app, I don't know how it does it. I grabbed a photo of me from like two Christmases ago at a Christmas Eve party. And it was just me smiling. And then it took my face, everything, made the lips move, eyebrows move, eyes move, head move, like the full like pano of the back of the head. So it looked like my whole head was moving. And I was like, this is scary for technology because like people can take a picture of their ancestor or someone's been dead for like 200 years and just put that in there. And the next thing you know, your great, great, great grandfather singing Michael Jackson's Thriller. That's freaking nuts to me.
Also as well, how do you know what's real in the future? You get a picture, it could be a wedding picture or a family group picture, and there's been a family dispute or somebody doesn't like somebody, they can edit that person out of the picture. And so you're actually effectively changing history. So going forwards, you could cut, Photoshop a certain family member out of every picture going forwards from a certain time.
Have you?
So how do you know what's real?
Have you ever thought about like tracing maybe someone famous? Like try and figure out someone like Tupac. Is he still alive? Everybody always says that conspiracy. I was like, you should search that and try and find if he actually like.
You can even search royalty, you know, even kings and queens, because they're still recorded in exactly the same way. Their births, deaths, marriages, they're all there. You can pick anybody you like. The records are there. You just got to know where to look and how to search.
Yeah, can you imagine if you thought someone was dead and it turns out like okay, they died in a plane crash. You find out they were never aboard the plane and you're like, oh my God, like that's something like that's when they start listening to you. That's when the government starts going after you, like he knows too much.
They're always listening. Don't worry. They're always listening.
Do you ever get a little bit freaked out sometimes like when you're searching through stuff and you start diving deep? Like that has to be very, very hard to at least stop in the middle of the process of it. Be like, well, tonight, I guess I'm done for the night, and you shut down your computer. That seems so difficult when you're going down this rabbit hole of like, I can't stop. I don't want to lose this progress.
No chance. Once you're going down that rabbit hole, you're not coming back out, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, whatever it takes, you just keep plowing on. We've all been there. You ask anyone that does this, you know, we've all been there, and you can't stop until you get the answer. 9 times out of 10, you won't get the answer.
Is there anything in the future that you're hoping for with this? Like anything that is just going to keep being a fun passion hobby thing?
Difficult to say where it goes. I mean, I started the blog about 3 years ago just to start to record the biographies and just general. And I just put anything down. Just rubbish, you know, anything that came to mind, I just put it down into a blog, and that's grown and grown and grown, you know, far greater than I ever imagined it. I've just looked actually this morning. Last year I had 35,000 views, which was for me, I think what I write's a load of rubbish, but people must enjoy it. It's but where it'll end up and where it'll finish, I don't know. That's the easy answer. I don't know.
Now with your blog form, are you writing the actual things that you're finding out, like the factual stuff about it, or are you turning it into a bit of a story to kind of turn, because that's what you could do, honestly, if you wanted to write a book, you could look at your family heritage and start writing like a storyline based on it.
Yeah, there's tons of stories on there. There's individual stories, like the one about the shotgun shootings on there. That's in 4 parts. It's that bigger story that's broken down into 4 parts. And that all sprung from just one newspaper article that I found. There's other ones where I've got all the biographies of the 8 great-grandparents on there. I've started biographies of the 2 times great-grandparents on there. There's general family history tips for people that are researching, say, to find a World War I soldier. There's some tips on there. It's a broad spectrum. It's not just my tree. It's hints, tips. When I've been to a trade show or a trade fair, a bit of a write-up about what I liked and what I didn't like. There's a broad spectrum.
What would you consider, I guess, some good helpful tips, like for me, if I was going to start researching?
Don't be too linear with, you know, don't just stick to the mainstream. So everyone will naturally gravitate to sites like Ancestry, and they're great. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be without the likes of Ancestry, but use Google, put your ancestor's name in Google, and even, I mean, if you find out where your ancestors are from, go and visit, go there. If it's, you know, within a sensible distance. I mean, my nan was born in Dublin, you know, not a million miles away from where we are, but it's still in Ireland, whereas I'm in England. And about 6 or 7 years ago, we went to Ireland, visited Dublin, and we actually saw the house that my nan was born in. And we went to the school's still there that she would have gone to. And we literally walked the steps from her front gate to the school. So they were the literal steps that she would have done when she was 5. So I would say get out there and go and visit places.
And it kind of makes me wish they did have an animus type thing like an Assassin's Creed. Imagine if you can create a simulation back, like you get to sit where you're, you know, where they, she went to school at, and you got to be there and get to watch it like a movie that gets played a little bit, even if it's like Drunk History where they just reenact what the person's telling you with actors. I would love to see like my family history reenacted to see, like, at least I think it makes it more entertaining a little bit, but it also makes it easier to digest a lot of stuff too. Cause I'm pretty sure probably in the past, like my great grandfather was in the 20s. Man, every story I heard from him was terrible. But when we were cleaning out his house and everything, that, you know, after he passed, I was finding like all these trophies and stuff, and I was like, what did he do to deserve all these trophies? And my dad was like, oh, he did NASCAR before it was NASCAR. And I'm like, I would love to like just be able to go back to that moment and watch him drive a car. You know, I knew him as this old man, but imagine him back in the day, you know, young, yeah, you know, driving a NASCAR type car.
Yeah, that's the beauty of technology and the beauty of the here and now, because you can, you've got everything you want. You can record it, and it's there forevermore. We did, sort of 50, 100 years ago, that technology wasn't available, so you've got to use your own imagination.
Yeah, now they're taking like recreations of past leaders or past chiefs or war chieftains, I would say. Like they had Alexander the Great, and they created a replication model of what he might have looked like. And people are like, damn, he's handsome. I'm like, yeah, like the statue probably wasn't that far off from the real thing. Like maybe added a six pack or added something, you know, there to it. But if you look at all these recreations of like King Tut and stuff, I'm like, this is an excellent way of learning. Instead of just seeing pictures in a textbook, you're showing a 3D modeled rendered photograph for people to be able to look through and scroll through on their tablet and be able to understand it better.
If you can visualize something, it makes it so much easier. They say a picture's worth a thousand words, but yeah, it's from a learning perspective, it's just so much easier to understand. You can grasp the context straight away. Trying to read a dry blank page with hundreds of words written on it, it's just dry. It's a dry subject, you know, whereas you can visualize it, it's so much easier.
Does it ever make you question when you look at someone that's like a double? Like, you ever see those Elvis impersonators or like a JFK impersonator or people that look spot on to the actual person? And you're like, man, there has to be something there. Like, maybe he had a kid that no one knew about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's again, I think it's just something you can copy, whether it's a trait, you know, it's over time you can mimic. I think it just comes more from that than anything else.
I'm trying to find, because I'm really obsessed with like personalities, traits, and things that people develop. And there's some stuff where I'm like, that's really spot on to like something else. And I'm like, I wonder where that stems from, because I'm always about like, what's the source? Why does a person think this way? Why does a person act this way? It's just interesting to find out. Like you said, it's like going down a rabbit hole. Once you keep going, you discover more and more and more.
Yeah, it's, as I say, I think there's a combination of things going on. It's what you copy from as a small child. We learn more from copying perhaps than we do learning by being sort of from a textbook or something like that. So, and I think siblings will learn more off siblings, elder siblings, than they would perhaps off their parents even. So there's a copying aspect, and then it's what's in there, what's imprinted in each of us that's different. And again, you could have a loving family, two children, one of the children grows up to be a murderer. Doesn't mean to say you've done anything wrong as a parent.
We don't talk about that side of the family.
We don't mention that one. But you could have two siblings, but they're brought up in identical fashion, but one can end up going down the turning to the dark side, shall we say, and one doesn't. So how do you explain that?
This is kind of like time travel in a way, right? Like, I mean, you're basically going back to past events and looking through them and experiencing them for probably the very first time.
Yeah, I think sometimes as well, we always look for answers where sometimes there isn't actually an answer. I think we like to think of things of being black and white as well. It's nice to put it in a little neat box that belongs there and this belongs there. I think when you get a bit older, you realize that there's a lot of gray out there. Not everything's black and white. The lines tend to be a lot more blurred than when you're younger. I think when you're younger, you can put things neatly away in little boxes. But as you get older, you realize there's a lot more confusion out there than we realize.
Have you ever been researching someone else's history and found something maybe like a little bit off-putting, or maybe let's say strange, like it seems like the line or trail ends?
Not necessarily strange. I found out something that I immediately knew the individual would not have known, like their father had been married before and had a child before. And it was obvious from the conversation at the outset that this person wasn't aware of that. So I just said, I'm unable to find out any more information and unable to continue the search. I thought I'm not there to ruin families or ruin lives.
Yeah, I'd say you're not the one breaking the news. Like, hey, did you know your dad was married to another person, has a whole other family you didn't know about?
So it's just as easy just to stop and give them a polite reason why. But I always quantify that as well, is what I discover is in the public domain and anybody can discover it. It's not hidden documents that I've got access to. Anybody who knows where to look can find the same information. So it's not like it's top secret and I'm snooping in people's cupboards and sort of documents and folders. It's all in the public domain.
Same thing kind of as like a private investigator. Like they might say the name private investigator, but really everything that they're searching through is just in the public domain. You just have to kind of search for it.
Yeah, it's knowing where to look and how to look. And you've got to be, not patient, it's probably the wrong word, but you've got to be a bit dogmatic. You just got to keep at it and at it and at it. And I think that's the difference between somebody that does it as a hobby like me and carries on, and somebody that just dips their toe in and just says, oh, I'm bored after a year, this is not for me, and then they disappear. So
The way you just dismissed bored after a year, I'm like, a year's a long time, man. The fact that you've been doing it for 20 just astounds me.
It's not, I've probably been doing it seriously the last 15 years.
Anything above five, I'm like, you already got my respect for life, dude. That's a freaking event and a half.
Yeah, some people have been doing it for a lot longer than me, and they're actually doing it as a job.
In that 15 years or so you've been doing this, you realize that's the same amount of time to build a Lego Death Star. You know that.
Oh, God, if only. If only I had the space. I could probably, if I could swing the camera around, I could show you. I've got a lunar lander. I've got R2-D2. I've got Empire State. I've got Saturn V rocket. In fact, I'd probably be able to hold on a sec. Let's get your Saturn V rocket in view.
When you said that you were doing that, I was like, I know that's his release after going through hours and hours of just stressful searching, looking for all these.
Yeah, look at that. Now that is impressive.
See, when you posted the picture and sent it or whatever, I was like, okay.
There's no scale to it, is there?
That's a freaking huge one.
That is huge. But it's just a bit reluctant at the end for the cone falling off.
You wait till zombies start coming. I can use that as a spear.
So that's the Saturn V. If I can put it back without falling over. Well, there you go.
Would you say that's
I've got the Statue of Liberty there. I've got the Empire State Building there. I've got the Millennium Falcon there.
Would you say that's your release a little bit?
I'll get you the Millennium Falcon. You got to see this.
I got you going on a thing now. He's excited. I kind of want to see this Millennium Falcon a lot. Everybody, he walked away for a second, but he's coming back.
Just put the headset on because, as I say, it's all about scale. So, again, it's not the biggest one they do, but it is pretty big.
That's complicated, man.
That is complicated.
That's if like you're trying to build a birdhouse.
And all these open up. There you go. And there's all stuff inside as well.
That's something, if you drop it, you're going to cry.
I'm definitely cry. I'm going to blame you as well.
Don't drop it, please.
Let's put this down there. Now, when I get back up again, I'm going to fall over that and kick the whole lot. They're all going to go flying.
It's funny. Your great grandkids are going to look at it and be like, there was this, he had this police car chase that he went on. It's like, oh, that was after he broke his Millennium Falcon. He just went on a giant car speed pursuit.
So, yeah, going back to what you said, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a release. I think it's something that it keeps the brain active and keeps me patient. Because it's quite it's fiddly, and you do have to be patient.
Well, it's got to be easier probably to have the materials in your hand and all the pieces that come together. It's the same thing with like researching history, for instance.
They come as a kit. So I'm not the most imaginative person. If you said to me, "There's a pile of bricks, build me something," I'll be,
that's what I'm saying, but... is that you have the instructions in front of you of how to do this. When you're searching through someone's history, you don't have the instructions of where to go. You are using your own sense. So it must be nice to have a sense of direction in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like, in a way, really building a house. If you don't get the foundation leveling, if you don't put that in first and you don't do that right, anything you build on top of it's never going to work. And that's the same with genealogy. If you haven't got the basics right with your own family and the line, it's so easy to follow the wrong line, disappear up the wrong path, and they're not even your ancestors.
You know, when I figured out I wasn't an architect.
No.
I was playing this game called Sims, and I've always put a pool in the basement. And people are like, you can't do that. And I was like, why? It's my house. You're going to have mold problems. I didn't even think of that. Well, Paul, you've given me enough of your time, man. Where can people find your blog? Where can people find your Twitter account?
At Chiddix Tree is the Twitter. And I'll just get you the blog. A full one is 2 seconds.
I'll make sure I post it in the description as well, so people can find.
Yeah, it's chiddixtree.com. So, but yeah, if you post the links at the end, I should have really got them ready, I guess.
No, I will for sure, man. But I really appreciate you giving me your time today, man. It's been awesome chatting with you.
Yeah, and you, Robbie. It's been a pleasure. Been good.
Is there anything you want to end on? Anything you want to say to the people out there?
One funny story. I read in a newspaper. A guy walked into a morgue and he'd been asked to identify the body as being his own. And he looked down at the body laying on the slab. He said, no, that's definitely not me.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank Podcast.